Attendance is up at the annual Detroit Auto Show. Planners are expecting about 800,000 people by the time the show ends this coming Saturday. And last Saturday, nearly 200,000 people poured into Detroit's Cobo Center for the opening. Also up, the level of excitement over new models from both foreign and American companies, with brands like Chevy, Buick, Chrysler feeling the love again. Paul Eisenstein is a longtime automotive journalist and publisher of the online news site, thedetroitbureau.com. And Paul, we know Detroit has been hurting. So how did the show feel this year?
Oh, completely different. When you went to some of the shows of the last couple of years, the pain was palpable. I remember the 2009 Los Angeles show when Chrysler didn't even turn on its overhead spotlights. They simply let the house lights of LA's Staples Center fill in the lighting for the show. It's been awful. And this year, well, it was summed up by one particular radio show host who anchored the black tie ribbon cutting on Friday night when all the swells came in paying a couple $100 each for an early preview. And as he shouted out to the group, "We're back." Well, it's a bit of an overstatement. The industry is still way down from where it was a few years ago. You know, a decade ago, they hit a 17 million unit peak of sales in this country. If they're lucky, they might hit 12.5 million this year. But nonetheless, the momentum is there and people are feeling very upbeat.
Well, the New York Times writing that at least for American companies, you can glimpse the light at the end of the tunnel. And apparently it's going to be battery powered. Now, let's talk about the news about electric cars. Lots of excitement for small, fuel-efficient green cars, starting with the Volt, which was named the North American Car of the Year. You were
right.
Part of the panel voting?
Right. There are 49 of us this year, normally 50. One did resign. And the Volt won overwhelmingly over two competitors, the Hyundai Sonata, which is a very good car, and the Nissan Leaf, the pure battery electric vehicle. Now, think about it. What this is saying is that there's a lot of skepticism and caution, even though an electric vehicle won. It's a vehicle that runs on both gasoline and electric power, the Volt being designed to run for up to 50 miles under certain conditions, 25 minimum, on pure battery power. But then it avoids that so-called range anxiety problem by switching over to gasoline when necessary. Most people do not believe that battery power will take over to any significant degree in the next 15 or 20 years, barring some huge breakthrough or, well, there's a variety of things. To give you an estimate, give you an idea, Some people say that all battery vehicles will only be about 7% of the market.
And I have to ask you to distinguish because, you know, we had some trouble with this just in communicating this. When you say all battery, you mean the vehicles are all battery, entirely battery. They don't have any other...
No, when I say all different types
all different types of battery vehicles. Okay.
If you allow me, let me take a detour for a second so people understand. Battery power in one form or another is going to catch on no matter what. Even the most basic vehicle that you won't even think of as being a hybrid will likely have something called stop-start. You reach a stoplight, you put your foot on the brake, the engine instantly shuts off. Lift your foot off the brake when the light changes, it'll automatically start back up again. You'll start seeing that on more and more regular vehicles in the next year or so. Hybrids, as we've gotten to know them, Ford Escape Hybrid, the Prius Hybrid and the like, those are catching on. Still a small part of the market, about 2% of the market. Then you have plug-ins like the Volt and some others that are coming. There'll be a Prius plug-in that can go short ranges on battery power and then switch to gasoline for longer drives.
Right.
Pure electric vehicles are like the Nissan Leaf and a version of the Ford Focus that are coming. So there's a lot of different solutions. The basic concept is there's no silver bullet. You add this to diesel, to advanced gasoline, and even hydrogen power. You're going to see a mix of solutions over the next decade.
Well, and you mentioned the Ford Focus and the Leaf. We should say we're going to take a ride in the Zebra, which is a car out of China that someone here in Massachusetts has sort of tinkered with. And in just a few minutes, we're going to show what happened when we decided to ride around. And, you know, you talked about range anxiety. How far can you go? Sometimes you can't even go a block without, you know, and find somebody who's willing to plug you in. So talk to us about some of the concerns about the electric cars, even when they're hybrids.
Well, yeah, range anxiety is certainly an issue. Even the best of them out there are generally getting 100 miles. The Tesla Roadster goes a little bit further. But charging is an issue, not only how far you can get on a charge, but how long it takes to charge. And then there is, of course, the issue of cost. And batteries are not cheap, though the prices are expected to plummet over the next few years. So solving these issues will be critical to make battery power work. There's a network of charging stations starting to go up around the country from about, I think it's something like 1,200 charging stations around the U.S. right now. They expect to see it go to 18,000 over the next couple of years. But the real kick will be if we go from these current type of charges, which can still take a good part of a day to charge you up, to so-called level 3 or quick chargers, which could give you an 80% refill in as little as 20 minutes, depending on your vehicle. That could transform the electric vehicle into a much more popular, acceptable sort of product.
Yeah. Enterprise Rent-A-Car says that later this month it's going to make the Volt available, starting with a dealership in Ontario, California. They're also installing these charging stations at some of their rental locations, you know, to be prepared for people who want to do just that. As we're going to hear, with at least the Zebra, which is this three-wheeled little thing out of China, you can just, plug it with your own, an extension cord into the wall. But still questions about that. And also, are there questions about, the environment, the fact that this is still electricity powering these cars?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the question is, where do you get your electricity? If you're coming from a place, many of the states on the East Coast, where they're using coal, you're going to get, you're creating some sort of CO2 in the process. If you go to places where you're using nuclear or renewable energy, of course, electric looks much cleaner. So that's a question. And of course, one of the issues that proponents talk about is that you're generating power 24 hours a day, so there's a lot of excess energy being dumped into the grid and never used at night. So the goal is to try to get people, encourage them to charge up whenever possible at night using off-peak power, which many utilities will be offering at a fraction of the regular price. Even charging up in the daytime, the Leaf would cost you about 2 cents a mile for energy, compared to about 10 cents for a comparable vehicle running on gasoline. Now, you charge it up overnight, it may cost less than a penny to run per mile. So there are advantages to running on battery power, which is why you're seeing so many makers get into it. Toyota loaded the auto show up with an all-new line of Prius models. These are mostly hybrids, but there's also a plug-in. Instead of having a single Prius, they're going to have a multitude of them. Ford showed off a plug-in version of their new C-Max microvan called the Energy that will be a plug-in, and they'll have a regular hybrid. And GM confirmed that they're going to have at least one electrified vehicle, which could be a plug-in, a full battery vehicle, or just a hybrid, in every one of the four surviving North American brands. In fact, I expect to see numerous products in every one of the GM brands going forward that'll run in some way on battery.
That's Paul Eisenstein. Paul, thanks so much. He's a longtime automotive journalist and publisher of the online newsletter, thedetroitbureau.com. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, an all-electric car, battery only, we're going to take it for a spin. We get lots of smiles, but also puzzled looks when we look for an outlet. In a minute, here and now.